For you and I that are saved, it is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And for those that are not saved, when these words are read, they are certainly words to take heed to. One gives encouragement to those of us that are saved. And the message tonight for the believer is to be encouraged for what the Lord has done for us. For the lost, it would be a message to encourage them to come to the Lord. And so these are words that both groups ought to take heed to. But tonight we will look in verse number 1 and read down a few verses, and then we'll go down to verse number 9. Romans chapter number 10, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God," notice here the last words, "but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Look at verse 9. "For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Verse number 14 is a verse that is used many times in missions meetings, because the Scripture very clearly tells us here that unless they hear, they cannot believe, they cannot know how to be saved. Verse 12 and 13 tells us there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek or the non-Jew. And then he says, whosoever. I'm glad that word includes everybody that will call upon him can be saved. And he says that they can call upon the Lord shall be saved. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they believe without they have a message? Look at verse number 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." These verses are very, very simple. They're very easy to understand, but yet many people disregard them. Many people will shun them and not believe. And here these verses give us a clear-cut example and what we really call part of the Romans road to salvation. I don't know how many times these verses have been used when dealing with someone that is desiring to be saved, because these verses tell us that whosoever will. I'm glad it is whosoever will come. Jesus said could drink of the water of life freely. And so Paul restates that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be, that's an emphatic word, not hope so, maybe so, but shall be saved. But it still is only by faith that we can have salvation as we hear the word of God. That's why it's very important to preach the gospel everywhere we go. That's why it's very important that we present the message of salvation, because no one can get saved unless they hear the gospel. No one can get saved unless they hear the word of the Lord. As we just looked at the missionary video, I remember he said that as he was preaching one night, that gentleman came in that had been such a struggle to the church that he felt impressed to switch subjects to a salvation subject. I'll tell you what, when we have folks that you know need to be saved, we need to give them the gospel. We need to tell them the story of salvation. Salvation is the free gift of God that can only be given from the Lord to an individual. It is a gift, and it's something that is offered and cannot be obtained by working. It cannot be obtained by purchasing. It cannot be obtained by doing anything other than believing the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, that He died for us to make us whole again, to make us righteous in Himself. He offers mankind salvation. It's not just to Americans. It's not just to individual people that have a little corner on God, because that does not exist. He offers His salvation to whosoever will let Him come. He offers a salvation that anybody that will come unto Him, He will in no wise cast them out. When a man or a woman comes to a place of coming to salvation, there's some things that we begin to understand. We find that the Bible tells us, and many of these things are in the book of Romans, a part of that Romans road. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that we're all sinners, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That coming short is like a person that is shooting an arrow at a target and it falls short. Brother Dwayne, you've probably seen some of that this year in the practices and in the shoots of the archery students. They fall short of the target. And that's what that passage here tells us, that we may shoot for it, we may do all that we can, but if we don't come to realize the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, the one that has given us eternity, then we fall short. We've all sinned, and we come short of the glory of God. We are born sinners, we live as sinners, and without Christ, we'll die as a lost sinner without God and without hope. Jesus, and He only, can save an individual from their sins. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so the Scripture very clearly tells us that we're lost. Then it tells us that there's only one person that can do that, and there's only salvation in Him, and that we can be saved through Him. John chapter 14, verse number 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's not a whole lot of different ways of salvation. I heard someone say this week that they sure hoped they were going to make it. Well, I'm glad I can tell you that we can make it through the grace of God, that we can take His word, and one day we'll stand before Him because He has given us eternity and given us life. But the only way to do that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, I may have quoted that this morning, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our salvation has nothing to do with man's works, man's ways. It's all because of the grace of God. The way to get salvation is just simply believe what the Lord has done for us, accept what He did upon the cross of Calvary. And as we read tonight, it says confession is made unto salvation. The Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that where we read that we come and the heart man believes, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now there Jesus was talking to the church. He said, I stand at the door and I knock. And I believe we can apply that to the heart's door of an individual. He comes and lets us know that we are a sinner. He reveals to us that we are lost, and He knocks on our door, and we must let Him in. And so the Lord has done great things for each of us. Sometimes folks will ask you the question, and I've had it asked to me, and maybe some of you have as you talk to individuals, just what does the Lord do with our sins? We say that we give Him our life, He forgives our sin, but what does He do with our sins? And tonight I want to just give you a few things here of what the Lord Jesus Christ does with our sins. And you and I, as a believer, as a Christian, it ought to be a great encouragement for what He has done to us and for us, and the things that He has done for to our sins. The Bible says in the book of Micah, chapter number 7, verse number 18 and 19, Old Testament book. But I'll tell you what, the Old Testament has a whole lot to say about salvation, and it gives you some details about what the Lord does. And in the book of Micah, chapter 7, it says, "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity," or sin, "and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever." We can all say amen right there. "He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities." And then it says, "And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." That's one of the things the Lord has done for our to our sins. The Scripture, in an illustrative manner, tells us that the Lord has taken our sins that were laid upon Him when He died on Calvary, and we believe Him, we trust Him, so therefore His sin, our sins, was placed upon Him, and the Scripture says here that they are placed into the depths of the sea. Now, the sea in many places is very deep. In some places, it's deeper than a man can go. There's places in the Pacific Ocean that are over 26,000 feet deep. You divide that by 5,280, that'll tell you how many miles down that it is. Man cannot go that deep. And here we find that God says He has put our sins in the depths of the sea. That just simply means they can't be brought up again. It simply means that the devil can't go get them. He can't find them. It just simply means that my sins are gone. We have a song in our songbook. I thought about singing it tonight. You ask me why I'm happy. I'll just tell you why. It's because my sins are gone. Thank God tonight my sins are removed. And the Lord tells us there in the book of Micah, the prophet Micah, he says, "Lord, You have cast all sins into the depths of the sea." Now, I know we understand that the Lord doesn't bundle up a bag of sin and throw them in the sea. But it's a message to show us that they are so far removed from us that we can never, never get them again. They are so far from us that we can't find them. We can't have them. They're not there. They are gone. Thank God my sins are gone. And you ask me why I'm happy. That's why. And the old song says, because my sins are gone. It becomes effective upon everyone that believes upon Him. That happens to every believer, every Christian. And so therefore it ought to give us encouragement. It ought to give us security in our heart to know that the Lord has cast them away from us and also from Him. Our past will not be remembered anymore. It's a testimony to God's providence that He loves us and He will care for us. It ought to heal the mind that we don't have to worry anymore of what I used to do. I don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about what I used to be and how things were in days gone by, because those things are forgiven. And so the Lord has forgiven them and cast them into the depth of the sea. And there's going to be something that takes place one day. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, verse number 1, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away." And then notice what the next word says, "And there was no more sea." So he cast them into the depths of the sea, and one day that's going to be removed. Thank God for the hope that we have in what Jesus has done with my sins. Number two, Isaiah chapter 38 and verse number 17. Isaiah 38, 17. Isaiah the prophet gives these words. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Again, another illustrative story. Not only are they in the depths of the sea, but Isaiah uses some different terminology that really makes us know the same thing, that God doesn't look upon our sins any longer. He tells us here, Isaiah said, I had great bitterness, and he said, because you've loved me, you've delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. And then he says, for thou hast cast all my sins. You ought to underline, circle that little word, all. It means just exactly what it says. All my sins. Past, right now, present, and what I do tomorrow, they're behind his back. They're in the sea. The Bible says in Psalm number 103, verse 3, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases. 1 John 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light, we sang that song just a moment ago, walking in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleansing from all sin, all unrighteousness, and they are all behind his back. We can think of it this way. If we believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, all of our sins are behind him. When we reject him and turn our backs from him, then all of our sins are on our back. We're the one that has to carry the burden. We're the one that has to bear the load of sin. Here, all of our sin is behind his back. So it's in the depths of the sea. Praise the Lord. It's behind his back. That means he doesn't see them ever again anymore. Number three, we've used these things so many times. But Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. How far is that? You can measure it from California to Maine, but that's not the end of either direction. You can measure it from West Africa to East Africa, but that's not the end of the direction. Where does it end? There's no end to it. Now you can measure from North Pole to South Pole, and you can measure from South Pole to North Pole how many miles it is. But you'll never, never be able to measure how far the east is from the west. God is very, very brilliant in giving the psalmist these words that our sins, it just simply means they are removed. They're gone. Thank God they are gone. As far as the east is from the west, what's he done with them? He's thrown them behind his back. He's cast them in the depths of the sea. He's removed them as far as the east is from the west that cannot be measured. It cannot be, there is not a mile total on where it starts, where it is. I challenge you to go to any globe and find out where the west starts and where the west ends. There's no starting, there's no ending. You can go west so long that you end up east. You can travel off the coast of California and you can travel west off of that coast, and before long, after a few hours, you'll end up on the coast of South Carolina, which is in the east. a lot of miles, but you had no beginning, no ending of the direction. And so here the Lord tells us that He has removed our transgressions. He has removed our sins. My sins are gone. And the Lord gives us these different things to show us that. That ought to give us security and blessing. Number four, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember how long? When? No more. So, they've not only been cast away from us, they're not only cast away from Him and removed from Him, but here the Scripture says that our God has forgotten our sins. They not only are forgiven of us, but they're forgotten of Him. Now tonight, if you and I do wrong toward each other, there may come a time that I'd have to come to Brother Bradley and say, Brother Bradley, I did this, I said these things, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry, would you forgive me? And when you go in that spirit and the right heart, then Brother Bradley's under obligation as a Christian to forgive me. But you know what? He never, never forgets what I said. You can forgive all you want to and you can say all you desire, but we have memories that God has given us and we don't forget it. God has put Himself in the position that He can and does forget my transgressions. All those sins, all those terrible things that man does against God and against His church and against His Word, all those things, when a man or a woman, boy or girl, comes to the Lord, God forgives their sin, then He says, what sins are you talking about? He's forgotten them. Praise the Lord. I know there was a song years ago that, or there was a saying, I think it was a song, that said, God's going to get you for that. About the most unscriptural song I ever heard, other than climbing a ladder to heaven, or a little cabin in the corner of glory land. Some of those things, they have good tunes, but they're very unscriptural. And my Bible says right here where we read tonight in the book of Hebrews, God says, I'm not going to remember them anymore. That means if He don't remember them, He can't bring them up to me ever again. Well, how come I'm bothered by my past sins? How come I have trouble with that? We remember, and I'll tell you one other person that remembers your sins. He's the accuser of the brethren, the devil. He doesn't forget. He doesn't intend to forget. You remember what you did? Yeah, I'll remember. But then we take heart, but God's forgotten. You know how you treated that person? You know what you said? You know how wicked you were? Yes, I remember that. But then we need to remember God doesn't remember that because He's forgiven my sins and He's forgotten them. Praise the Lord. Encouragement to the believer. Encouragement to the child of God. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all, there's that little word again, all unrighteousness. We just need to remember that God doesn't remember. When the devil accuses you, recognize he is the accuser. Recognize He is the one that's trying to defeat you and to tear you down. It's not the Lord. God's not going to get you for that because He's already forgotten. Number five, Isaiah 53, verse number 6. The 53rd chapter of Isaiah is called the Gospel of the Old Testament. How true it is. Verse number 6 of the 53rd chapter says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Notice the last part of the verse. And the Lord hath laid on him, speaking of his son, the iniquity of us all. What has the Lord done with my sins? What has He done with it? He has cast them in the depths of the sea. He has put them behind His back. He has removed them as far as the east is from the west. He has forgotten about them. And another way that we deal with the sin that we have in our life, we have to remember that our sins are laid upon Jesus Christ. My sin, your sin was put upon Him. When Jesus died, He died for my sin. He died for my sins. You read the gospel account of what transpired those hours before the crucifixion. You'll find that He was many stripes put upon Him. He was beaten. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned our own way. Isaiah 53 says He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And by His stripes we are healed. We find that all of our sins were laid upon Him. The stripes and the slaps of His face and the pulling of His beard. The suffering that He went through. He did that all as our sins were being placed upon the sacrificial Lamb of God. As He hung there on the cross of Calvary, He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? That's the only time in the Scriptures you'll find Jesus talking to His Father and calling Him God. It's the only place you'll find where Jesus says, my God. It's always my Father. But as the sins of mankind was placed upon the Lord, He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? God, a holy and a righteous God, forsook His Son there upon the cross of Calvary because of my sins. Darkness fell upon the face of the earth for those hours, and transgressions were being paid for. Sin was being laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. First Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scripture. Praise the Lord, what victory verses those are. Verse 17 says, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which had fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. Paul says, if all we have is right now, we are miserable beings. But thank God Jesus took my sins, had them laid upon Himself. He died, but 3 days later, He arose again. We're coming up on the Easter season, and those days that we remember Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary. Now, I don't have to go into all this. I do it every year, but the world has it all wrong. Jesus was in the heart of the earth 3 days, 3 nights. You can't get 3 days, 3 nights from Good Friday to Sunday morning. Try as you will. But anyway, those 3 days and nights in the tomb, I'm sure the devil thought, well, I've got Him now. I finally won the victory. Only thing wrong was that Jesus had already won the victory. And He came forth victorious over the grave. And He carried my sin, laid my sins upon Himself. He came forth victorious. He's our Savior alive forevermore. And He throws my sins away and forgets about them. Number 6. Colossians chapter 1 verse 14. It's hard to argue with Scripture. Colossians 1:14. in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What has He done with my sins? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When the songwriter penned those words, he knew exactly what happened to my sins. They're washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's why the subject of the blood is hated by the devil and the devil's crowd. And by the way, liberals are liberals wherever they are. If they're in politics, they're liberal. If they're in religion, they're liberal. And they all believe the same thing. They don't believe anything righteous. And so when the Lord died, His blood was shed for my sins. My sins were placed upon Him, but yet they put a crown of thorns. They drove the nails in His hands and feet. They pierced His side with a sword, and His blood came forth out of His body. And all that was washing my sins away. What did He do with my sin? He washed them away. He took care of them. Hebrews 9:22. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Notice the last part of the verse says, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. If Jesus didn't shed His blood, there wouldn't be no salvation. There was a big controversy a few years ago that it wasn't the blood of Christ, but it's just His death. I beg to differ. It was not just the death of the Lord, it was the shedding of His blood. The life of the flesh, according to Deuteronomy, is in the blood. Years ago, when a person was sick, they would do what they would call, they would bleed a person. They thought, the disease is in the blood, so we'll get rid of the blood, and those folks would die. Because they didn't have enough sense to read the Scripture that says the life of the flesh is in the blood. You know why, when you go to a doctor, one of the first things they want to do? Take a blood test. Because in that blood tells them everything they need to know about your life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. What can wash away my sin? The blood of our Lord. Salvation. When you get to Revelation chapter 5, we've read this a few months ago. It says, they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, there's His death, and hast redeemed us to God. There's redemption. How did He do that? By Thy blood. How many? Where are they from? Out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. People from everywhere have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. These flags that hang around this building, the missionaries that we have come by, those that are working very diligently in the house of the Lord in other countries, you know what they preach and teach? If they preach right, they preach the same thing we do here, saved by the blood of the Lamb. That's what He's done with my sins. He washed them away. Then lastly, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted. That just simply means be changed. And when you repent, you will be changed. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be, what? Blotted out. Blotted out. This simply means, anybody know what a blotter is? Years ago people used to write with pens. Had to have a blotter. That pen would leave excess ink. And they'd put the blotter on it and draw the excess out and it'd be gone. The Lord says here, He blots out our sins. They're gone. Every one of these seven things that I've given you tonight just simply means my sins are gone. What an encouragement to the child of God. What a security that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He says, I have done all of this to your sins. Which one's the greatest? How can you put anyone above the other? They're all equal because this is what He has done for the child of God. They are blotted out by the blood of Christ. They are blotted out by the love of God. They are blotted out by obedience to Christ. They are blotted out by the testimony of the cross. They are blotted out by the truth of God that has been affirmed over and over in the Word of the Lord. They are blotted out by the endurance of Christ. He stayed on the cross. He did not come down. They're blotted out because of the dishonor that was placed upon Christ. I just gave you words called acrostic, I think. Take the letter and put something out of each one. BLOTTED. The blood of Christ, the love of God, the obedience, the testimony, the truth, the endurance, and the dishonor. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then you could add all these seven things of what happens. My sins are gone. Praise the Lord. May God help us to realize we have a great salvation. A gift that is offered. But you know, a gift is only a gift when it's received. It's a gift that God's offered His Son. His Son's offered His life, His blood, that we might be made free. Thank God tonight. This is what Christ, this is what God has done to my sins. That encourages me. Because in the morning, tonight, the devil, he may come along and say, yeah, but look at this. You know what you did last week? Remember that? You know, you remember how you used to be? Remember what you used to do? And you think yourself a Christian? Has it ever come along to anybody like that? Or is it just me? He comes and he accuses us. And I just want us to be helped tonight to realize everything he brings up, they're behind God's back. They're in the depths of the sea. They're in his remembrance no more. They're washed by the blood, and they're blotted out. Let him accuse. The Lord has taken care. Let's stand together tonight.